Welcome back to another episode of the Nerdcast Podcast. This is Jay, and this week Matt and I talked about some more serious stuff than normal. We both watched Atomic Homefront, a documentary about some nuclear waste that's in our area. It's actually really close to Matt's house. So we talked about that, and then a little bit about raising kids today in the crazy culture we live in. And then we get into the typical nerdier stuff at the end. But most of it is the serious stuff. So hope you enjoy. Have you watched Atomic Homeland?
Yeah, Jennifer and I just watched it last night.
You're living it.
Yeah, I'm living it. But did you see Jen and my mom in the film?
I did see them. Jen pointed it out on Facebook, and I was watching for them.
Yeah.
I had woken up by that point.
Yeah. it's a rough watch for me. It's a very rough watch for me. More so for those families that are, you know, actually impacted it quite a bit. But, yeah, that's my life. So if anyone that listens to this and has watched Atomic Homefront, they want to hit up, I guess, our Twitter account, Jay, I guess, would be the best one. They have questions about it from a perspective of someone that lives right in the danger zone, I guess. Well, not right in the danger zone, to be honest with you. I'm probably 3 miles, I guess, from the landfill. And then as far as Coldwater Creek, I'm about 2 streets over. Well, I won't say it that way. Not 2 streets over, but 2 major roads that run parallel. I'm off of one that's a little bit further away from it. But on my way to drive my kids to school, I drive over Coldwater Creek every day.
Okay, yeah, because so, I was going to ask. That's a little more north of you, isn't it?
The Coldwater Creek, it runs north of us, yeah. It doesn't run too far from where my kids used to go to school up at St. Norbert. And it runs behind the Deerbergs on Lindbergh.
Okay.
So to give you some perspective, maybe of a landmark that you might recognize, the further north you go, I guess you're not as familiar. But as far as where your brother's old house was, he was actually 1 street closer parallel than we were. But I don't know. I don't know if we've talked about it in previous on the previous podcast, you know, the previous version of it, as far as I know we hit on it a little bit in, I guess, the earlier episodes, because I guess that's when we kind of started it, maybe. I mean, you used to work with me at my place of employment, which is literally what, a tenth of a mile away from the landfill.
Well, if you look at the overhead map, that's almost right on top of it.
Yeah.
Because
I guess if you give people perspective, they ever looked up on, if they looked up Rams Park, where the St. Louis Rams used to have their practices, the landfill's catty corner to it, I guess, is that way to describe it.
Yeah, but there was a lot of it that went underground, like where all of Earth City is, it seemed like, because actual nuclear waste was up closer to St. Charles Rock Road, which is north of that.
The landfill itself is, I drive by the landfill, like it was kind of crazy, because if you see the Bonker Road, or Boinker, however you want to pronounce Bonker, that's a back road to get to work that I take quite often. And if you go a little bit further, actually, if you go further northwest on Rock Road, that's more towards where the nuclear waste is.
Right, that's where the old bridge used to go across the Missouri River.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So.
And it's crazy because we grew up in that area a little bit, southeast of the landfill? Of
it, yeah. Well, no, you're right. Southwest, still southwest of it. I feel bad because we, you know, where we used to grow up, you wouldn't think much of it because we're not too far from the airport either, to give people perspective of it. And my parents, they moved even closer to the landfill.
Yeah.
Unbeknowingly, you know, no one knew about any of this. No one knew anything about it until what's funny about it is I vividly remember my first time smelling the landfill. as far as the odd odor, because I was driving to my parents' house, and actually I'd stopped at Best Buy for some reason. I can't remember the reason I stopped at Best Buy, but it just smelled awful. And I was going over there to cut their grass, and I go to tell my dad, I was like, do you smell that? It smells just like death outside. He's like, yeah, it is kind of weird. And you didn't think much of it. You just thought maybe something was just funky in the air maybe that day, because every now and then you never know. But then you kept noticing it more and more, and then, God, going to work, it was just awful in the morning, especially in summer. You were used to a funk because there's a couple of landfills not far from that. There's one a little bit closer to the old city building. That's like, directly across from it. So you got used to a landfill smell, but this was a whole nother level and smell.
Working over that year, that way for years, I don't remember it until it was after I left where you work.
Yeah.
And just driving through there, and it was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then seeing you'd see the people in the documentary talking about letting their kids go outside and play based off wind patterns. Mm-hmm. I'm like, mm-hmm. I could totally understand that now.
Yeah. It's a. When Jen, posted on her Facebook about all of it, and Mike was saying how glad he was that he sold his house, and Mike moved 90 miles away from it.
Yeah.
Whatever. And,
But I told Aaron, if something were to happen and the fire hit it, he mm-hmm. would still be impacted 90 miles away.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what Jen's been saying all along. Because my wife, she's the one that's super educated about all this. She was, like I said, she was in there. She went to the town hall meetings and whatnot. And she's like, Matt, it doesn't matter if you're close or far. If the wind picks up anything, it'll spread the radiation for... It could go all the way to Illinois, all the way up to Iowa, she was saying, or something like that, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how far it could go.
And I was talking to Erin about it today, and she's like, well, mm-hmm. would it impact us? I'm like, we're gone. Mm-hmm. Like, if something really bad were to happen, we are way too close to it.
Yeah. And, it doesn't matter.
Probably
go all the way to Wentzville, to be right. honest. It could go all the way to Columbia. It's not the immediate impact, obviously, would be devastating.
It's right.
Like, where I'm at, it would be devastating. We would... It'd be imminent. Like, if you're thinking like dirty bomb,
right.
is what you're thinking, there'd be no surviving it. I mean, there would be no way. But it's frustrating on multiple levels because my wife and I have been having some issues in regards to when she was really into it. You know, it was like I wasn't ready for panic mode because the government wasn't in panic mode. We brought it up to my employer and they weren't in panic mode, but they were monitoring it because obviously that's a huge lawsuit on their hand if employees are in danger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they'd as many employees that work in that building, it's something they don't want to deal with. And, you know, it's just, reflecting back on it now, it just sucks because Jen's like, I was telling everybody about this all along, and people are thinking I'm crazy, but now all of a sudden HBO comes in and makes a documentary, now I'm not crazy? I'm like, you were never crazy to begin with. It was just a matter of, what do we do?
Right.
And you see the struggles of the people that live right there. Because, again, we're not as close as the people that they depicted in the video. We've got some mileage between us and the people directly by the landfill, but it's just... You feel bad because you're hearing about all these people that have an effect. The kids that grew up there, like in the 70s, 80s, that would play in the creek, coming up with, having cancer and whatnot.
Well, yeah, that was one of the people was 44 and recently passed away from cancer from living there.
So it's been weighing on me. Jennifer, I had a good conversation after watching the documentary last night. It's just I feel bad as a father. I mean, because Jennifer, we moved into the house that we moved into in the area we moved into because we got married really young.
Yeah.
In today's standards, you were about the same age when you got married to Aaron.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 23, I think, which in today's world that's crazy. Unless you get married, it's a shotgun wedding, which it wasn't for us. We didn't have a kid till about 2 years later, I think, to be honest with you. It was just, I was young, didn't have a good job. I had a job, but not a good one. And we just bought what we could afford. And this was the area that we could afford. And now I have to live with the guilt of I'm putting my family in imminent danger, possibly. And if my kids years from now have health problems, or the biggest fear I have is if my daughters have reproductive problems and can't have children, that's on my conscience. That's on my mind. And we don't, and like you said though, how far away do you got to go to get away from it? Who knows?
Right.
You know?
And like you said, I mean, the property values are down, but they were down before any of this was discovered.
Oh yeah. I mean, that, so none of this happened.
This, just
this
adds
Jen's
to
like,
it.
She's actually praying people. I mean, she's notifying people on her Facebook about it, but she's actually praying people don't watch it and people don't get educated about it.
Right.
Cause we'll never be able to sell our house. I mean, we weren't planning, we couldn't go anywhere anyway right now, but
yeah.
It would just make it that much more difficult trying to get out. And then the real kicker to it all is the fact that removing the waste, it sounds like it's even more dangerous than just leaving it where it's at.
Oh yeah.
So we're kind of in a lose-lose situation of you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, and who knows what we're going to do about it.
And you have aspects of the EPA that are like, well, we're going to put a plan in place. It's going to happen quickly. And yep. Then the EPA as a whole doesn't say anything and it never gets done.
Well, too many people have too much money to lose, and nobody wants this on their head. That no one wants to take a stance on it to, you know, say, yep, this is a real danger, because if it's on their watch and they recognize it and something bad does happen, they're the politician, they're the government agency that let it happen, you know?
Especially when the parent company has a financer in Bill Gates.
I know. And that was something new I learned from the documentary, was owning 30% of the entire company. That's quite a bit of pull.
Yeah, it really is. And they pretty much blew them off when they went to Washington.
Oh, it was ridiculous, the list of people that declined interview
for
the documentary. I couldn't believe it, especially elected officials. I mean, you're there because people put you in. Now, could this become a hot button topic where people lose their seats in office because of this? I don't think so, because to be honest with you, Jay, where you live, do you really care what's going on where I live? It doesn't really impact you. It really doesn't. You might care because you know me, but
right.
Pretend you didn't.
And
you wouldn't. You could care less.
Well,
you know? It's not where you live.
I have found that out here, I've grown up in that area, so I have a little more investment in it. But a lot of people out here have been out here for a long time, and they don't really care.
Oh, yeah, no. And they would never give any money towards it.
Right.
They would vote against anything that would cost them higher taxes, you know, if they had to do public funding to get rid of this stuff. Because we just live in that society. We just live in a society that if it doesn't impact me, I don't want to deal with it, which I can't blame people. I mean, there's a lot of that in me, too, where if I have my own problems in my own little bubble of a world, you know, and that's why kudos to those women that are involved with the action group that's trying to get, you know, some action done to say we need to get this rectified somehow and, you know, save people's lives and, you know, prevent a catastrophe from happening. Because the main woman of that documentary, that Dawn Chapman.
Yeah.
Jen's talked to her before, and just an amazing woman that's, you know, it was amazing watching that movie because her family was our family, you know, married.
Oh, yeah.
Three kids live in a house they can't sell because the market just sucks. And you could tell. And they have the same outlook that we do. They're not out to make millions of dollars in the world. They just want to make enough money to get by, raise a family, and just be able to let their kids go outside and play safely.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And they showed things like the woman whose dog was getting the...
Yeah, the bumps. You know,
yeah.
The tumors or whatever. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even think about it. I just let my dogs run outside. I mean,
oh, yeah.
If it's something like that, it's... It changes your whole perspective on everything.
Yeah, it does. It's eye-opening, but it's not something... Seeing that documentary is not anything new to the people that have worked by it or lived by it.
Yeah.
Because what's crazy is that the people that work by it live, you know, everywhere. I mean, like, we got people that live South County. You know, we got people that live out in O'Fallon. We got people that live West County. It impacts them because they're exposed to it every day. And they've been exposed to it for over 10 years now.
And
we won't know the actual health effects of it till, what, 30 years down the line maybe. Because, you know, you just don't know.
Well, and the whole thing, too, is that's a whole office park industrial area where...
Oh, yeah.
How many thousands of people work in that area?
Oh, it's too many.
Who
knows the number on that? And you could tell the fire, I don't know, he's not the fire marshal, but I guess maybe, was he the chief, fire chief or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
you could tell by his look. He's like, I don't want to work in this. I don't want to work in this environment either. None of those guys want to had to be the first. They're like they said, you guys are the first ones going in. And you could just see it on their faces going, oh, God, what are we dealing with here?
Well, and not you only know? That, but a lot of fire and police departments require you to live in the district you work in.
Some do, yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't know if that's the case for Pattonville.
Yeah, I don't know either, but that could be a requirement, or they have to live within so many miles of the fire station.
Yeah, it's just, it's, I don't know if it's ever an issue that's going to be resolved. I was telling Jen, I was like, you know what, this is going to be one of those things where no one's going to do anything, and they'll just say it was just too late. What could we do?
Yeah.
And nothing will get done until something catastrophic happens. And who knows? Because if something really, really bad does happen, the entire metropolitan area of St. Louis and even East St. Louis could be destroyed.
Well, and
it could be.
And it's not even that. It's just the reputation of it, which the reputation of St. Louis is already in the bucket as it is.
What's worse, us, Detroit, or Baltimore? I can't decide.
Yeah. And that's the big joke. It's always, and a lot of it is, yeah, the per capita of the city for the murder rate is super high because not many people live in the city, but
yeah. And they also include the metro, or the they include East St. Louis into those stats because they call it the Metro East. So
right.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It bothers me when people say things like that, and you know, saying that, you know, it's a bad time. It's not. It's actually a really good place. It's a good place to live, a good place to raise a family. It's just got a lot of bad luck.
Yeah.
And stats can be deceiving, because if you go, well, when you ask somebody, where are you from? If they say they're from St. Louis, really, when you say you're from St. Louis, that could be from all the way from East St. Louis, you know, Illinois, all the way out till somewhere before Columbia, Missouri, to be honest with you, and they could say they're from St. Louis.
Yeah.
Just because it's a point of reference, to be honest with you.
Well, and I think part of it, too, is how you're raised, because, I mean, we were raised going down to the city every weekend, and so I have no problem walking around anywhere, because I have no problem with anyone.
It's different. It's definitely changed. I mean, I used to not care. It could be out whatever time at night down in the city and wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things now where, you know, like if the kids were with us, I'd be like, yeah, I'm a little bit more cautious. Not for a baseball game, obviously, because of how many thousands of people are downtown for a baseball game.
Yeah.
You know, and you're in an area that's well lit and there's a lot of cop activity around there because they want to keep people safe when they're downtown for the sports activities. But, you know, if it were non-related to sports or something like that, I'd have a little bit of apprehension just because of, you just never know. Bad stories that happen there, and it's just, it's not RoboCop.
Right.
You know, not that bad down there, but
right,
it's a run of bad luck in this area. And then, you know, you got a lot of families that some don't want to go because they actually like where they live here, especially up north here where we're at. That's close to the landfill and whatnot, because it's actually a really nice area in some spots. My area is really unique, to be honest with you, because I can say I'm 5 minutes from the airport. I'm about 15 minutes from downtown St. Louis. And to be honest with you, you go 5 minutes, 5 minutes north of me, and it's nothing but farmland.
Right.
So I'm really in a unique area where people don't get exactly what I have around me, because either, and most time we say, either live in the boonies, I live in the sticks, or I live in, you know, a city. But for me, it truly is, it's the best of both worlds. It really is.
I totally get that too. And that's part of what I'm jealous about where you're at. Cause I mean, if we want to go anywhere in St. Louis, it takes us 45 minutes to get downtown to go to a ball game or a Blues game or anything down there.
Yeah. It's give and take, man. It's, you get the good, but you get a lot of bad, you know, especially with where we're at presently. So I don't know. It was a good documentary. It was kind of when my wife said, because she kind of took a little sneak peek at it, and she was so familiar with all the material in the documentary, whereas it wasn't that educational to her.
Yeah.
And she goes, Matt, when you watch this, it's not going to end with a happy ending. You know, some documentaries, you're like, God, you watch the whole thing, you're educated on it. In 1 year, they have a happy ending and a good resolution.
Yeah.
Or you, you know, this one, it's really just, it just stops, you know?
Well, so, yeah, and it ends with, well, this person died, and this person died, and we believe it's because of all of this.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I'm really interested, you know, people that listen to the podcast, if they ever wanted to really get a good glimpse of someone that's impacted by it on a daily basis. I'm lucky enough to not be impacted to the point of my house. I don't know if it has radiation levels that are unsafe, like the people in Spanish Village, but I do know, and again, I'm not one of those people that has, you know, cancer victim in their family at this point. Praying to the Lord that it'll never be, at least not for this reason. You know, something just happens, but I can give some insight. Really give some insight to this.
Well, and the worst part for you is when you go to work and it's raining, it's like 10 times as, the smell is 10 times as worse as normal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's called the leachate or something like that. That's what they call it. And
yeah.
The runoff. And there was something posted on Facebook just yesterday where someone was going near where Boeing is.
Yeah.
And the creek, they've got radioactive signs with, you know, the orange fencing, the radioactive signs. And they're like, well, this can't be good when they saw some bubbling.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Yeah. What's going on? And who's going to step up to do something to rectify this situation?
We're going to see that three-eyed fish from The Simpsons.
I know, man. And then one of my supervisors at work today just made a really bad joke going, well, we can save the company money for the light bill because we're all just going to start glowing pretty soon.
Nice.
I was like, oh, no, don't say that. Don't say that. I don't think anyone wants to hear that, man. That was awful. I mean, it was funny, but come on, man. You can't even say too soon, but still.
You could get overtime pay for it.
Overtime. I'm a light source, yeah.
So, going from one bad thing for people to another, do you regret raising kids in this era we're in with school shootings and just the political climate we're in?
I will never say I regret it because that's the joy of my life or my kids.
Yeah.
But I will say it has a whole different set of challenges that previous generations didn't have. And that sounds very millennial to say, because although you and I don't really fall into the millennial generation, we do have to deal with, a different set of parenting challenges than our previous generations had to.
Yeah. I completely agree.
So I don't regret it one bit. No, I don't regret anything. I am apprehensive in regards to friends that don't have kids yet.
Yeah.
I would say before you have them, think about how many you really want to have and be prepared to have to deal with a different lifestyle than what we were brought up with. It's a different world. It's a crazy different world.
I could see it starting to trend the wrong way as soon as bullying became a thing. Because when we grew up, people got bullied all the time, and part of it was dealing with it and learning how to cope. But
it's
coping is gone.
But I always, when I hear people have that take that you're taking right now or just presenting right now, I always go, look into, there's a bit online that Aziz Ansari did, and I know he's not a good source right now for what he's all into, but he did a really good bit about bullying. And I always point people in that direction and going, guys, the bullying that we were involved with as kids is a whole different level than what these kids are having to go through.
I will agree with that. It's totally a different level.
Because when bullying happened, it pretty much happened at school, or it happened, you know, right after you left school. And it didn't continue.
In the neighborhood.
It wasn't 24 hours a day.
Right.
And there wasn't an imprint out there that would last forever, where basically if it's online, it's going to be online forever.
Right.
So if they did something embarrassing to you and took a video of it or a photo of it, they could go and point back to that anytime they want. Versus when we grew up, well, let's say someone tripped you and you fell or something like that, or they pinched you, or, you know, okay, it was funny for, you know, that 30 seconds that it happened, or it's embarrassing to, depending on whose side of the coin you were on.
Yeah.
And it just went away. It eventually went away.
Well, and even the more serious things, like people taping date rape and stuff like that, never happened because there was never an opportunity for it, and I don't think it happened as often.
Yeah. Here, hold on one second. My daughter came downstairs, and she's 3 years old and should be in bed right now. Go upstairs. Speaking of parenting, right?
Yeah. Hey, I go through it.
Parents or kids that don't go to bed when they're supposed to. Get up.
Go to bed, Emmy.
this is a whole different challenge.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna bully her into bed.
You're gonna spank her too? I mean, people are against that nowadays.
Oh no, she gets beat daily. Trust me. No, I'm certain children don't need it, and certain children do.
Yeah. No,
it's all a unique situation.
Well, and that's just parenting in general. I mean, yeah. Certain kids are built to cope with things that certain kids aren't.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So, like, one of my daughters is very sensitive, and if you get mad at her, it's the end of the world, and you have to talk her down. Oh, where the other one is just like, okay, I won't do it again.
See, yeah, no. What you're describing, absolutely. I got one of my kids is exactly, she'll shut down emotionally, won't say a single word, be completely bummed out, you know, stuff like that. But the other one, this one I just had to put to bed, nothing fazes her. And I could beat her, but all day long. She, you can spank her. Yeah, she doesn't faze her whatsoever.
Yeah.
But let's back to the topic at hand. We were talking about the difference between bullying between now and when we were kids. Just a different type of bullying, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
A different type of bullying.
So there's other things that brought up this question besides the shooting in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my brother's told you, but Madeline is epileptic,
mm-hmm.
and she actually just had her second seizure 2 nights ago.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily genetic, but there's aspects of it that come from us, and it's just like stuff like this that you can give to your kids mm-hmm. through genetics. It just makes me sit there and question sometimes, like, was it a good idea to have kids if I would have known that this stuff could happen, because it's in my genes and now I'm bringing pain or something different upon my children?
Well, see, in regards to that, I go, no, never. You should always want to have your children. I mean, you can't be scared of the unknown.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Because you would never be thinking about that if nothing ever happened to you. Everyone has their own unique set of circumstances in regards to the difficulties and challenges of raising their own kids.
Yeah. Yeah, and I totally get that. It's just when these episodes happen, it makes it hard because you have to sit and just sit there and watch it.
Yeah, I know. So. We haven't run into any health issues like that with our kids, but it was hard. I mean, I never imagined I would have to sit down with my kid the other night and go, "Hey, you know, have you been hearing on the news?" Because we don't watch the news very much, but we're not really into current events at the house.
Yeah.
You know, are they talking about at school about the shooting down in Florida? My son had no idea about it, and he's 10 years old, and I was kind of happy he didn't know.
Yeah.
Because I was like, for that age, ignorance is bliss.
Right.
But it's also the generation of, okay, they do have intruder drills. And we talked about it. I was like, have you had an intruder drill at your new school? Because he's at a new school this year.
Yeah.
He said, oh, yeah, we didn't know what to do. And I was like, you know what to do and all that good stuff. And I was like, you know, having to have a talk with him. And I was like, son, that's good and all, but I also want to make sure that, you know, don't be afraid. You can be brave and help who you can.
Right.
Because he's one of the older kids in class. He's actually one of the biggest kids in class.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there might be kids that get really scared and they might want help from someone that's one of the bigger kids. And he's like, I don't understand. I was like, I have this, and you know, and you're struggling to tell your kid something that I'm like, don't put yourself in danger, but if you can help, help. Because I was also like, well, your little sister goes to that school too.
Yeah.
I'm like, if there's any way possible that you can get to her, you need to get to her, you know? You know, he's not old enough yet to where he's a, you know, I would think, you know, if he's in eighth grade, because my kid's school goes all the way from K to eight.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a preschool there too. So you've got 3-year-olds all the way up to teenagers in that school. And, you know, you might tell your eighth grader, if you can stop someone, stop them.
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid to stop them. Because if you can, there's strength in numbers is what I want to try and teach them. I'm like, you know.
And yeah.
The other thing is also the early warning sign stuff, which I'm like, it's always difficult and I feel bad. It's just like, you never know who's going to do what. And that's why we have conversations with our kids that I would never have dreamt about having with my parents.
Well, I got,
like, I don't
got
know
some...
if you have this conversation with your kids, but like, we're constantly asking, what's going on at school? Are you happy? Are you down? Who are you hanging out with at lunch? What are the conversations at the lunch table? Is there anybody at school that's picking on you? Are you picking on anybody? Stuff like that. And it's just like, my dad never talked to me, I don't think.
Right. We never got those talks. And yeah. Recently, Aaron and I went to a marriage retreat. Mm-hmm. And the speaker at it mm-hmm. is a therapist. He works with couples, yeah. and he also works with children. Mm-hmm. And like some of the numbers he was throwing at us just blew my mind. And like I was scarred when I left because he said 1 in 4 girls are sexually assaulted by the age of 18 mm-hmm. and 1 in 6 boys.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
and the thing is, I don't,
Kaylee had 8 girls at her party.
I would need someone to say, what does that constitute?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know that what one person's definition versus another person's definition is that. And I'm not being a smartass and I'm not trying to make a joke of it. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I really, really don't. And I like, because that's the thing. I know I can't protect my children from all the evils of the world and bad things will happen to my kids, but I know I would never allow that to happen.
Well, yeah. You know,
under my watch. But
well, yeah, but he told us about situations where kids in his neighborhood were playing with a kid that was 2 years older than him, and he was touching other kids in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. And it just happened that this week Will got, like, their whole class got pulled aside, and they had a talk about adult or people touching them in the inappropriate spots. And he came home and talked to us about it.
Yeah.
And so one of the things the speaker said was, like, people could text them questions and he would answer them. And one of them was, when do you start talking to your kids about this type of stuff? And he's like, 2 years old. He's like, as soon as they can comprehend different parts of their body, you start talking to them about it. So at that point, they understand it and they don't think there's anything, or they know something's wrong when something happens later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, and yeah, we know we've had that talk because we had a Berenstain Bears book help us with that.
Oh, yeah.
As far as stranger danger. But oh, yeah. Also, the good thing about that book was actually that there's two sides of it. It told them kids to be wary of the unknown. And but it also said, don't let one bad person, you know, like one rotten apple shouldn't ruin a bunch, because the whole thing was like, most people are generally good and they're not going to do harmful things. It was just something that I, you know, we've been learning as basically, I feel like we're growing up all over again. How to have to teach our kids. But it was a matter of, would an adult ever really ask a kid for any help for anything? Really? What adult needs a kid's help?
You right.
know, finding something or needing help fixing something. No adult is going to ask a child to do that. So we're just like, be wary of, you know, tricky. That's what we said. Not stranger danger, but tricky people. Watch out for tricky people. You know, stuff like that is what we talked about.
And we come from a generation where we never talked about any of this.
No, because
we learned everything from health class.
Yeah.
No, it's just scary time now to have kids.
Yeah, it's scary. It was scary for our parents too, in different ways, I'm sure.
Oh yeah,
in different ways. I mean, we didn't have to worry about a communist scare. You know, they didn't have to worry about a nuclear bomb hitting our kids all the time. It's different levels of scary, and it's just a different type of scary.
It makes me think of Stranger Things, where millennials were complaining about kids being out at all hours of the day. It's like that's how it was back in the 80s.
Yeah, it was you rode your bike home hoping that you got a little bit of extra daylight, or you better hope that there were street lights on that so you could see your way home.
Yeah, all exactly.
It really was. And it's a different style of play with our kids these days. Especially in my neighborhood, there's quite a bit of an age gap between my kids and the kids that are in the neighborhood, if there are any kids. Like, for a long time, there was nothing but older generations on our street. Like, me and my wife were the youngest people on the street.
Yeah.
Like, and the people that lived there, their kids were our age. they were grown adults. And so they didn't have kids to play with. And plus, my street, it's not a safe street to play on. I don't have sidewalks. And mine is a street's a through street. And people tear up and down our street at crazy speeds that you just get so pissed at that you're like, if there were kids on the street playing, they'd be toast, you know, stuff like that. Where I grew up, they didn't have to worry about stuff like that.
See, and it's funny because we're in such different neighborhoods, but it's kind of the mm-hmm. same here because mm-hmm. we moved into an existing neighborhood
But our house and our neighbor's house were built about 30 years after all the other houses because there was a dead-end street where our houses are. And so in our house, we have three kids. In our neighbor's house, they have five kids. Same house. So, I mean, I don't know how they get five kids in that small house.
Put them in the basement.
Pretty much. But so it's our kids, their kids, and then there's like one other kid a couple houses down. So everyone else is older, and they watch out for our kids. But like the next street over, we kind of live on a circle that goes over to the next street. And over there, there's a lot more younger people that come speeding down our street. And so like we have to watch out, like who's speeding by. The older people in the neighborhood will watch out for them and stop them. But you can't control everyone coming through.
No, you can't. It's just different in the sense that it's also everyone's situation is unique. Like my kids go to a private school versus the other kids that would be around us. They go to public school. So they're just not integrated in that way.
Right.
But it's also a matter of, I don't think it really wouldn't matter if they did go to school together, because the way these kids play today that I'm growing up with, but, and I always talk to people at work just that have kids, you know, in similar age range going, do you guys have friends over a lot, or there are lots of sleepovers, or do you just have random kids from the neighborhood come into your house? One person says, yeah, we got kids from the neighborhood in all the time. But the majority of people go, no. Usually if it's not prearranged or you're driving your kids quite a distance to go to a friend's house, they're not hanging out with each other. And more importantly is this trend that you notice is kids don't play together. They play with each other online.
Oh, yeah.
It's all online video game stuff. That's what we're discovering now, that even though you could go play at their house, well, why would you need to? All you got to do is log on to your PlayStation, get online, and you're playing together. You're talking like you would if you were sitting right next to each other. But instead of that, you're just talking to each other through a microphone now.
Yeah, and that's the trend we're finding too, because our oldest two just got tablets, and so they're playing Minecraft together on different tablets. And so it's causing the youngest one to get on an old phone and play Minecraft with them. Where he used to be like all about Star Wars and Transformers, but now it's like, my phone's dead. What can I do? I'm like, go play with your toys.
Yeah. Well, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Oh God. No. Yeah. And that's a big struggle with the older kids though. It's like, if you don't tell them what to do, they sit there and stage going, what do I do? Do something. Go figure it out.
I've got an older niece and nephew, and they will have people over, like when we have family events. And if they have people over, they sit there next to each other on the couch, texting each other.
Yeah,
you're sitting right there. Man. Talk.
I know, but I'll be honest with you. It's hard. I always give it with a grain of salt because we didn't grow up with this generation. We didn't have this technology thrust upon us as part of our upbringing. It wasn't part of.
No.
This is normal. Like kids being on tablets. If they're not on tablets, then what you're going to worry about is, oh God, they're so far behind technology-wise, they couldn't keep up in school.
Oh yeah.
They don't know how to operate a system, you know?
My kids go to a technology class once a week before school, and they're learning, like, internet coding and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, I can sit there and show them stuff, and they understand it.
Yeah.
Whereas us, we manually kept score of hockey games.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a way to build a season.
Yeah, I know. And it's a different world. So, I mean, no, Jay, should kids be brought up anywhere? Is it wrong to bring kids into this world like this? I think that, no, it's never, not if you have kids for the right reason.
Right.
What Jennifer notices, due to the fact that she works with a lot younger crowd, like the people I work with are probably either my age, maybe slightly younger, but majority are a lot older than me.
Yeah.
But with Jennifer, in her industry that she works in, it's all, 20-year-olds. And she goes, Matt, every single one of these girls out here are single moms. Every one of them is a single mother. Or they're dating and they have kids, you know? And it's just like, I'm like, well, that's where I see things differently, where I'm like, I'm probably very conservative about this and maybe I'm very right-wing about it, but I'm like, you should probably be married and have kids, have a family unit. And I know that's just not the way it works anymore. And I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I'm like, if you read the stats, if you read studies, or you have people talk about it, you listen to things on podcasts or, you know, YouTube videos, they always say the same thing. A successful child comes from a two-parent home.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying that kids can't overcome challenges and be successful without a two-parent home. It's just, I see the struggle, and I'm like, why would you thrust that upon yourself? You know, and I know there's things that extend to family, and really your friends become your family, and you have a support circle, you know, and you reach out for support in ways you never would have thought you'd had to, and you make it work. I get making it work, but I'm like, that's the part where I struggle going, why would you bring a child into a world where you weren't ready to have a kid? You didn't want that responsibility. I see that you're trying to do it, and you found love in that kid, and you wanted to share that with them, and you know, you did something that is valiant, and I commend you for it. But I just find a large generation of people that it seems like they just had kids and they didn't know they didn't need to have kids.
Right, and you know. I think the religious aspect comes into it too, which I've talked with my cousin who's hardcore Catholic, and as you know, I've fallen away from the Catholic Church, but I'm still religious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not going to take us into that tangent, so.
No, I'm not going to take you. I'm not trying to take you there. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to say that it's your point is valid in the sense that people need to take a really hard look on the world they will be bringing children into. And to be honest with you, from 10 years ago when we had our first kid, the world's even that much more different, to be honest.
It's
a much different world from 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah,
and
completely.
Things evolve and change so quickly now that the trends go so fast, and it's just like, what are we bringing them into?
Because if you sit back and look at just culture in general, it's changed so much since we were kids.
And let's take it away from the religious aspect of it, and you know our opinions on what's an easier way to raise a family, or I won't even say the right way to raise a family. Just let's look at it from an economic standpoint. Would I have done it the same way? I don't know. I don't know if I would have when I was 23. To be honest with you, most people nowadays, it seems like they're waiting until their mid 30s, maybe early 40s, to even have their first.
Yeah.
And I could never dream of doing that because I'd be like, well, when my kid's 10, I'm going to be 50, you know? And when you think of 50, you're like, I don't move around the same as I was when I was in my 20s. You know, even now I'm closer to 40 than I am to my 20s, you know?
I completely see that. But if you think about my dad, he was 41 when he had me, and I'm the oldest.
Oh, I know. But that was the norm back then at all.
Yeah.
That wasn't the norm. So I'm like, the norm now is what your dad was doing. He was ahead of his time.
Oh, yeah.
What it was. And but, I just see people holding off and having established careers, and you see people with two income households, and they've got their money situation a lot more established. And economically, that seems to be the more, you know, the smarter way to do it. But that doesn't mean that's what everybody's doing. I was going back to saying it's a struggle economically for having a one income household to try to raise one kid, let alone try two or three. It's an uphill battle from the very get-go with just one.
Oh, yeah. And I see it from the flip side because my dad passed when I was 23, 22, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron tells me I didn't get the guidance as an adult that I needed because I didn't have it because my dad was gone.
I'll say, I don't know if you really would have gotten it though, Jay.
I completely agree with that.
Because here's the thing, and Jennifer and I have this discussion all the time. Our parents don't have the conversations that we seem to have with each other and also with our kids.
Oh yeah.
I know for a fact the conversations that you have with your children and probably with your wife, you would go, I don't think I ever once heard my parents have a conversation like this.
Oh, I agree completely. And I've talked to my mom about that because my mom goes to church with us now at this new church and they're very open about talking about religion. I'm like, I'm not used to this. I'm like, religion is a personal thing to me and I've never talked about it. And it took, I don't know, almost 10 years of marriage to Aaron before I opened up about it because it was just not something I ever did.
Yeah. And I mean, you would hear your mom and dad maybe say, hey, I love you or something like that. But never actually heard them talk about their feelings, saying, I'm frustrated or I'm stressed out or, you know, you might hear you say, you kids are driving me crazy, but you didn't hear them say, you're driving me crazy because of this, you know, and being really specific about that. And the studies are showing that it's important that your kids hear this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also like, just take it for example. I never knew about financial stuff. My dad,
oh, no.
All you knew is that you were taken care of. That's all you knew. But no one ever, you know, taught you about, hey, this is how you handle money. This is how you invest. This is how you save. This is because they also, I don't think they had to worry about what we have to worry about.
Well, exactly. When we got married, I was $5,000 into credit card debt because I didn't know anything about it. They showed up at college and, hey, here's a line of credit. Mm-hmm. Here's nothing, you don't know anything about it. Just go ahead and start spending it.
Oh, yeah.
And that caused the big issue at first. And then I found out after the fact that my dad had like $15,000 in credit card debt that my mom didn't really know about. And because they never talked about it. And that's something that's different because we've taken those Dave Ramsey courses and we talk about it and we know where our budget's at. And but yeah, so, religion, it's just a different all kind, world, man. Everything. My parents never talked to us about anything, and now it's like I'll bring it up to my mom now, because I'm older, and it's stuff I have to talk about now with my wife and my kids, and it's like, why didn't you guys say anything about this when we were growing up? Why didn't you explain money to me?
Why didn't you warn us?
Exactly.
Why couldn't you just throw us a I never expect like. What I respect from our generation. Yes, get your blanket. This kid won't go to bed. You can name this podcast, My Kid Won't Go to Bed.
I might do that. I don't, Matt's kid won't go to bed.
But, you know, they just, we talked about all that. They just never warned us about stuff. Then again, they probably had it worse than we did. Their parents never talked about any of this stuff. But again, I also tabulate that to the fact that life was a lot simpler back then. Anyone could tell me that, you know, life's the same, but no, it's not. Life is a lot more difficult from the standpoint of things are just different. You have a lot more challenges, because I could guarantee you, if I were to try to show my grandparents the internet, they'd be like, get this stupid magic box away from me.
Richard Nixon was never on Twitter.
Exactly. And I, you know, this sounds like such a millennial conversation to be having, but I don't think it is millennial. I think it's just a generational conversation.
Yeah, it really is.
I guarantee you, when our kids have the same struggles that we have or the same worries that we have, you know, at least we can go back and look at it and say, at least we talked to you about it.
Right.
And like, okay, let's use your college example. You went to college.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was never like, I don't know if you did, and I'm sure everybody's story is different, but I know for a fact that me and most of my friends, none of the parents kind of pushed their kids to anything. Basically, we were the generation of go do what makes you happy, right?
Yeah.
Versus, I think our generation maybe could have benefited from, you probably want to do this because guess what? This is where the jobs are, or, you know?
Yeah. And I agree with that to a degree. Since I was the oldest, I got more pushed to college.
Yeah.
And I think once my parents saw I went to college and didn't do anything, it kind of made it easier for my brothers.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. Here's how I approach it. What we tell our children and what I appreciate from my parents was they did not believe in paying for school. My parents did not believe in paying. Like, if you wanted to go to school, they would support you, meaning you have our emotional support. If you need help, you know, call us and we'll get you some help. And, you know, if you need financial help, they would find a way to get you some money to take care of expenses that week or something like that.
Yeah.
But they will not pay for school. You'll take student loans. You'll pay for your own way somehow or some way. You better get scholarships or you better get student loans.
Yeah.
What I would have appreciated and what I've taught my kids now is you will never go to school like that unless you know exactly the job you want to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, figure it out first before you pay for that kind of education. If you're going to go to school for a writing degree, but all of a sudden you're going to go be a plumber instead, you just wasted $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
You know, figure out what you want to do. And I think we have the benefit of hindsight. And generationally, we see that the job market is not what it was when we were getting ready to enter it.
Yeah.
And the economy is one of such where I feel like there's nothing but a ceiling where I'm at. And I can't go anywhere because people that should probably be retired by now, they can't. They can't retire. They can't afford to retire because everything's just gotten too expensive. And they can't. And even if, no matter if you did all the right things that our parents did, where you put in 30 years on a job, you get a little bit of a pension, maybe if you're lucky, but you were able to save throughout that whole entire time and live off those savings, that doesn't exist anymore. It just doesn't.
No, and staying with a company for your whole career doesn't exist anymore.
And that's a whole different topic right there.
Yeah, it really is.
On that topic for a long time.
I mean, go ahead. And you and me are the exceptions because I've been with my company for like 13 of the last 15 years, and you've been with yours for 10 years, I think.
Well, I was with my first company for 5 years, and my next company was 10. And that's the thing. My dad was with the same company he worked for the county for 30 years, I believe is what it was.
And
put in his 30 years.
My dad worked with Southwestern. Southwestern Bell for 35 years.
Yeah, see? And that just...
Without missing a day.
I'll tell you that much. You could pray for that to happen, and you want to happen because that's what your family needs is that stability. That's a big deal, stability.
But where we're at now, it's like you don't go by a month without worrying about your job.
No, me right now don't go by without a day or a week.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like that just in general in the mortgage industry because we never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. I know, man. It's just... It's a whole different, and again, generationally, the previous generation, they didn't have to worry about these guys. And I'm sure they did to a degree, but not to the level that we do, man. I refuse to believe that because you just didn't hear about it in the news. That's just the difference is since we're all so globally connected now, you just hear about it all. Maybe it happened. We weren't informed about it.
Well, and I think it was different too, because I remember my dad being moved to different jobs, and I think that was the alternative to being laid off, is they instantly found a place for you somewhere else.
Yeah. Where nowadays they don't care; they'll just cut you. They'll cut you just to say make the fourth quarter look good.
Well,
investors, you know.
And like we've seen where I work, I mean, they cut you, they move all the jobs to someplace else. It stays there for a few years, and then they cut all those people and move it to someplace else.
Yeah, and I have my theory on that is basically, we hired you in at a lower salary than the people we just laid off.
Right.
And you're cheaper labor, but now after 5 years, you have to earn raises. We can't say that you didn't do a job to where you couldn't earn a raise. Oh, now you cost too much. We're going to cut you. We'll hire these people for even less than we hired you guys for. And just keep going back and forth for cheaper labor.
Yeah, but what's funny is they always hire people back at a higher rate.
I know. I don't understand people that run these large corporations. It seems like no one really knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
They just really don't.
All right, we've talked a long time about serious stuff. Let's move to the fun stuff.
The fun stuff?
Fun,
the stuff that doesn't mean anything?
Yeah.
That clogs up our brain, doesn't make us any money?
Well, it gives us an escape from the serious stuff.
Oh, man. I could go on about serious stuff. It's been one of those decades.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Serious stuff clogs up my mind and keeps me up at night, sir. That's all I can say.
you're talking to the guy with insomnia, so. What were your thoughts on the solo preview? We talked about it last time, about them not having a preview out for it yet.
Yeah, which was concerning. And I tried to rewatch it before we started this, and I just didn't have time. And my takeaway from it is it didn't show me anything about story that... I don't know. I need to rewatch it. And the only thing that really stood about it, and the one time I saw it was during the Super Bowl, so I kind of was a little bit distracted because a lot of people were at the party I was at. And the only thing that really stood out was Lando. I was like, "That's awesome!"
Yeah, Donald Glover. Cool.
Exactly. Spider-Man's there. Yeah, he's my Spider-Man.
It's Childish Gambino. Yeah, but I thought it looked very Star Wars, which I was happy with.
Yeah,
it had that more dull tone than a lot of movies had, and it felt like Star Wars, so I was very happy with that, but it didn't give us much of the story, which I'm happy with. I don't want to know much of it. Yeah,
it's just a teaser, right? It's not the official first trailer or something like that. Or do we have an official first trailer?
I think they released the official first trailer the next day, and it had an extra 30 seconds on it or something.
Oh really?
Yeah
No, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm waiting for you to go see it. You tell me whether or not it's worth my time. If I were to see it, I love Star Wars. You know, I love Star Wars, but
yeah,
I pick and choose my movie very carefully these days, just because of how hard it is to find time to go see movies.
Yeah,
you could probably argue that I probably love Spider-Man more than I love Star Wars, and I didn't even go see Spider-Man in the theater. So if I didn't find time to go see Spider-Man in the theater, me finding time to go see this in the theater, you know. Because the reason being, unlike Rogue One, what are they really going to show me? I guess we'll probably see the Kessel Run.
Yeah, the Kessel Run's in there.
We might see some interaction between him and Jabba.
Maybe.
Or at least the gangs. He'll be in the underworld a little bit, right?
Yeah, probably. But it'll show him meeting Chewie. Yeah, and the Kessel Run.
Cool. That'll be really cool, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Maybe you get to see that. The important thing is, would be, I don't think we'll ever get a Chewbacca movie. You
know, no, probably not.
See that happen. But getting to see some of Chewbacca's origin, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
We'll get to see a little bit of the Imperial Academy, is my guess, because that's where he started out at.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm curious to see what Emilia Clarke and Woody Harrelson are doing in the movie, because we don't know very much about their characters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean.
Well, I guess in the timeline of things, this takes place how much more earlier than New Hope?
I don't know for sure. I don't think they've actually said that yet.
See, and so, I mean, I'm excited for it a little bit, but I'm also, you know, maybe I just need to see a little bit more to get a little bit more hyped up about it. It does look very Star Warsy though.
Yeah.
And I also just feel bad for the guy playing Han, because you're going to be like, it's just not Harrison Ford, you know, it's not him. And you don't want to see him do, you know, trying to mimic Harrison Ford.
I
guess you just want to see him do his own spin on it, but
he doesn't have the young Han Solo look based off what we know of Harrison Ford when he first took the role.
Yeah. But the thing about Han though is the charisma. No, it doesn't have anything to do with the look really, to be honest. It's just that charisma though, right?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. But there's also been all the rumors about how bad of an actor he is, and bringing in acting coaches and all that stuff.
Oh, do we got a Hayden Christian 2.0?
Oh, probably worse.
Think about that. You could be seeing a prequel. Is what you could be really seeing. But technically, it is.
Yeah, but there's not going to be the storyline. I don't think there'll be the storyline like Clone Wars that redeems the character that people don't know about.
Yeah, gotcha.
Although they're apparently releasing books and comics to go with it, like they've done with everything else.
Which goes back to the fact that we talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Did we talk about having to read the books and the comics to get more enjoyment out of that?
Yeah, they're relying too much on that, on the outside story, to bring enjoyment to the movies.
Yeah, since we last talked, did I tell you I finished Dark Disciple?
Did you?
Did we talk about that in the last podcast?
We talked about it a little bit, and you said it was a little too long.
Yeah, that's all I was going to reiterate.
Yeah.
It was still just way too long. Still liked it, though.
And unfortunately, that's one of the better Star Wars books.
Really?
If they
can keep the quality of those books on that level, to be honest with you, I would enjoy just about every book they put out. It's just the problem is that it's just oversaturated now. There's just so much Star Wars stuff out there. It's impossible to keep up.
Yeah. Really, though, it's not oversaturated compared to the Legends universe.
I know what you mean, but I'm just talking about Star Wars in general.
Right.
Anything Star Wars, there's just so much. Well, there's the two cartoon series, the movies, the prequels, the books, the comics, you know, you name it, man. And then eventually, once this Disney thing gets launched, there's going to be a live action TV show.
Yep, more cartoons, and yeah. Oh, I just completely agree.
Oh, my God, so much.
I love it, though. Anything Star Wars is good to me.
Yeah.
And my family, too. We just watched one of the two newest episodes of Rebels. And my son was just about in tears at the end of it.
There's a new season coming out already?
Well, they're in the middle of the final season.
In the middle? Okay, they did it like a two-parter kind of thing?
Disney did it different this season, where they're releasing two episodes at a time. And they release them online on the app first.
Okay.
And then they release them on TV.
Okay.
And so
I watched none of Rebels yet. Like, I was late to the party on Clone Wars, so I'm already late to the party on Rebels, which I'm ready for Rebels because I read that the prequel comic to it, which is that Kanan, the last Padawan series, which was really good. It was a good 12 book like miniseries.
Yeah, and it tied into his Padawan days and the current storyline in Rebels.
Okay. See, and which I'm ready for. I just gotta get on it. Which Rebels isn't on Netflix or anything like that, which is what sucks. Because I know I could find it. I'm sure I can go. I don't like if you go to the Disney app, do they let you go back to see? That's the I got.
Yeah, it's not. They have the current season on there, and that was it. The first season, they had every episode on there.
I'm just hopeful that when they come out with their Disney streaming service, they put all the old stuff on there. Why not? If you're going to pay a monthly subscription fee for it, please just give us all the content. You know, give us all the Marvel movies on there. Give us everything. You know, but
I think that's the plan. But I can give you the Blu-ray
to hold you over until then.
A disc? Ugh! We, to put something into a machine? What are you, a barbarian?
Yeah, I know. Anytime we buy a movie now, I put the code right on Google Play so we can access it on anything.
I'm not putting a disc in a machine. I'm not an animal.
Unfortunately, if you want to watch those three seasons from me, you're going to have to do that.
I know. But yeah, man, I'll get caught up on all that. I like binging. It's just easier, man.
So
having to wait in between and trying to remember what happened when you wait a long time, it's hard to remember all that stuff, at least for me. So
yeah, we got caught up in the half season of Rebels, and then we've sat for the last month and a half just waiting for these new episodes to come.
Yeah, see, that wait's brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to have to wait. Get it all done. And then binge the whole series.
All right. So the other preview I wanted to ask you about was, did you watch the Infinity War preview?
Yeah, I watched that.
So it didn't show us much new stuff.
I don't need to see anything new, man. I'm done.
No, I really don't either.
I'm done with trailers, man. I don't want to see it. I do not. The only thing I will see is if you tell me, Matt, if you don't go watch it, you're not going to be able to see the Fantastic Four in it. Then I will drop everything I'm doing, even if that means like stopping driving.
Yeah.
I will pull over to a shoulder of a road. I will watch the trailer on the side of the road. But otherwise, I don't need to see anything else.
Well, did you watch the Venomless trailer?
Yeah, and see, I was hoping we were going to get the Flash Thompson version of it in the comics, where they use the Venom suit.
Oh yeah,
as basically his war suit, and he'd be the anti. He's still, I guess, kind of an anti-hero in that, right?
Well, he was in Guardians of the Galaxy for a while as part of the team.
Oh, see, I didn't read that part. I read the early stuff when Bendis did Guardians, but I guess that comes in a little bit later.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, see. I think I stopped reading that. I still need to read the Trial of Jean Grey or something like that is where I left off.
Yeah, I think it was about that point, but if you watch the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, he was the Venom from the beginning, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, man, I don't need to see anything else. Black Panther looks like he's going to be the leader, which I'm down with that, because apparently Black Panther is an awesome movie. Still haven't seen it. We'll try to go. I'm still going to try and go see that one.
Yeah, I haven't been able to either yet.
So, no, I mean, the Venomless trailer, it didn't do much for me, to be honest with you. I don't know what we're really going to get with that, man. I don't know who the supporting cast is supposed to be in it. I don't understand how we're supposed to care about this character, since we don't know much about his background in this Marvel universe, you know.
Yeah, it would be different if they introduced him and he had a background with Spider-Man and then went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that would all have to be flashbacks, I guess.
Because the Venom comes out after Infinity War, correct?
Yes, I think so. I mean,
so they could still set it up as such, where because you saw Spidey in outer space, right? You come on the side of a rocket or something like that, I think was what we saw, right?
He was on the like portal thing he saw from the bus.
So
I don't know if he was in atmosphere or not.
You gotta somehow get the it's gotta be symbiote related.
Yeah.
As long as they do something in Infinity War to show this, you know, we're getting the suit via a symbiote from outer space.
And then
could you think of, okay, so then the next Avengers, could they be doing Secret Wars?
I've heard rumors of that, but from the preview, it looks like they were doing Ultimate Spider-Man, where the Venom suit was created in a lab.
Which I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That version of Venom in the comics is really, really cool. I love that run on Ultimate Spider-Man. So I'm done with that. Because the suit was created, it was actually supposed to be for, I thought it was like age research.
Or like an anti-cancer research or something. Yeah,
cancer. You're right, yeah. Cancer. It's supposed to cure cancer,
yeah,
and then it just had the wrong side effects.
Well, and that had the modern feel to it, which is what they were going for in the Ultimate series.
So maybe that's what they're going for, man. I don't know.
It just stinks if they take this Spider-Man aspect out of the origin of it.
Mm-hmm, which they shouldn't. Which Peter Parker's going to be in Venom. That I know.
Oh yeah,
but Spidey's not in it. I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah,
just put Spider-Man in the movie. But I don't know. I'm interested in it. I don't know if I'll see it. You know, if you were to tell me rank out of all the movies that we were talking about, you know, that you would go see in the theater, I think, of course, Infinity Wars is number one.
Yeah.
Solo 2, Venom 3, I guess.
Yeah, and Deadpool's above Venom.
easily.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Deadpool. That's right, that's coming out.
Deadpool is probably.
I'll probably be seeing Deadpool because my wife would want to see it. So did you want to see that one?
And so did you watch that preview?
Oh yeah, when he's playing with the action figures. Yes. and the thing. perfect.
What the fuck? Great. We aren't even doing a CGI mustache. I love how he can't let it go. And like the last movie, the promotional art so far has been really good.
I like the Bob Ross paintings they're doing where he'd had Cable up there, but it's him from the Goonies, I guess. Yes. Right? And then he reversed it and he's got him as Green Lantern.
Yes.
I was like, that's perfect.
Well, and I mean, that was the first preview, too, is he was sitting there painting as Bob Ross.
Yeah, I know. The marketing people involved with this are just genius, to be honest with you. They got a good handle on that.
I really hope Marvel doesn't change that when they finally get their hands on it.
Yeah. That's a big concern, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to Disney-fy everything, you know. They're going to have a different branch of it that says, this is for mature material. Kind of like what DC does with theirs. They have DC line, and they got Vertigo. The mature stuff goes to Vertigo.
Well,
and then they had that with Marvel.
Marvel Knights, right? Tried that for a while, and Marvel Max.
Yeah, which Punisher's still a Max series, isn't it?
No, I don't know. I haven't read it in a while.
Oh, I can't remember the last time I picked up a Punisher comic, to be honest with you. But
I do everything through the app now, so I'm about 6 months behind.
Which that app, it's still need. They still. It's not the entire library though. That's the problem, right?
No, they're still adding. It's a lot back but, stuff. You know, but like anything that came out 6 months ago comes to the app. It's just building in the back arc of everything. Yeah. And so I'm trying to go through and find stuff for Kaylee to read, like Infinity Gauntlet and Planet Hulk. And I'm like, read this story arc because it'll get you ready for this movie.
Yeah, which is great. That's what they're supposed to be doing. That's what the movie's supposed to be. Read the material, and then if you want to enjoy some more, go watch the movie.
Yeah. All right, so
what else was there on the list?
I don't remember. I didn't pull up the actual list, so we're gonna go with recommend me a title to read because I'm reading Invincible right now off your
that was my recommendation. Yes, that is my recommendation to tell you to read that. I've been telling you to read that for years.
So I am 14 issues in.
How good was that seventh issue? I think it's the seventh one. The first trade goes seven issues, I think, right?
I've got the Ultimate Editions that go 12 issues.
Oh, they do. Okay.
But I knew what happens.
You know how brutal that was, right?
I knew what happened with Omni-Man. I knew his dad was the villain.
Oh, so you knew going in. That sucks. It got ruined for you.
But that issue is still... Yeah. It's just crushing.
You, right? Oh, it's crushing. Crushing.
And so I'm sitting here and... I'm continuing reading, and I'm just like, when is his dad coming back?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Dude, that series, it's 100, it'll be 144 issue run, and it reads so fast, though, because you don't want to put it down. It just goes and goes, and you're just like, that's how I would read it. I would get mad at myself because I'd get caught up, and anytime you get caught up, you're like, God, I don't want to be caught up, because I got to stop reading, because I got to wait for him to write more.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Kirkman's a great writer.
Uh-huh.
And like I've loved Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the first six issues of Super Dinosaur, which was fun.
That was really good. Actually, I got way farther than the six issues. I just stopped collecting after that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I
didn't want to read that book. It's just I stopped collecting in general because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Right.
But Super Dinosaur's a great book. Great book past the six issues.
All right. While you think about it, I'm gonna try to sell you on DMZ real quick.
That's Warren Ellis, right?
No, it is actually Brian Wood. It is. Because
what's the one that you tried to sell with Spider Jerusalem in it? Who's that?
That's Transmetropolitan.
And that's Warren Ellis, right?
Yes.
You couldn't sell that book to me if you tried, dude. I tried. Oh. And Warren Ellis is just a little too far out there for me, I think.
He's out there with Grant Morrison. I will give him that.
And Morrison's hit and take. Like, Morrison's Batman stuff? Love Morrison's Batman stuff. Except for when he had Batman going through time. That was stupid. But anything else Morrison does, I just can't. You have to be on acid to understand it. You have to be. Otherwise, I don't get it.
And Warren Ellis is the same way to a degree. But the Spider Jerusalem stuff was commentating like political coverage.
I'm not into politics that much, to be honest with you. So it might be the reason why it doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, it could be. But at the same time, it's probably more relevant today than it was when it came out.
Yeah, and I guess you're right.
That's kind of how I feel about DMZ, because I read the first seven trades 5 years ago when they first came out. Or no, not even when they first came out, but I found them cheap, so I read them.
Okay.
And the story is there's a modern day civil war where the militias of Montana end up taking over half the country, and it gets to the point where the island of Manhattan is a demilitarized zone, and the main character is a journalist that gets dropped into the middle of it.
Okay.
And he's dealing with both sides of the fighting, along with all the people in the middle that are just trying to make it day by day.
Okay.
And like I thought rereading the first seven trades, it would be like dated, but I think it's more relevant now with how divided the country is on politics. That it's really worth just checking out, because it's a fun read. It's very unrealistic. But then there's aspects where you like, oh, I could unfortunately see that happening.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, if you give it to me, obviously I'll read it.
Yeah.
I'll check it out, you know. I'm trying to think of books to give to you, because I'm so far behind on comics in regards to the newest stuff. Like, to be honest with you, if I'm going to read a comic that's newer, I'd go back to Rebirth. And I haven't read any of the Batman stuff. I have not read a single thing of the Batman stuff. That's all I'm really interested in, to be honest with you.
And that's all I was picking up at the time. And I really liked a lot of it, but it just got to the point of I can't go drop $100 per month at the shop to pick up Batman, Flash, and the Marvel stuff.
Because that was two books a month at that point, right?
Yeah, for Batman, it was like six books a month for Batman. And then
for and the extended family and whatnot?
Yeah, so you had Batman, Detective, and whatever the Snyder Batman was that.
Oh yeah, which actually, to be honest with you, the Snyder run on not the metal, his new thing that he's doing, that metal run. Before that, it was like
I can't think of the name of it.
He was doing it with different artists. Like Romita was doing it with him.
Yeah, and it was like Batman on the run. With
I'm actually a Romita fan. I know a lot of people don't like his style, but I love Romita stuff.
Yeah,
the story was just not good. It was not good. All-Star. It was All-Star Batman.
Yes.
Wasn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, All-Star. I picked
not,
up a...
Not going back to the Frank Miller All-Star Batman.
No.
No, not that. But whatever he was trying to do. Like, I love Snyder's run. I loved Snyder's run on New 52. Yeah, I loved his run on Detective.
The Year Zero arc was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And but that just... that run just didn't work. And that just shows you... Even good writers have bad runs, and sometimes it just doesn't click. Their idea or their story just doesn't work.
Oh yeah.
But as far as for a different title besides Invincible to try to convince you on reading, actually, one I've been trying to convince myself to read is Moon Knight, because everyone just seems to love Moon Knight. I know I've tried Moon Knight in the past, and it just didn't click for me, to be honest with you.
I'm about six issues into the current run, and it's awesome. And
really,
it's a total mind fuck, and I don't know what's going on, but it's still a good read.
And see, those are books you seem to enjoy. I don't know if I'm in that much into the mind fuck ones, to be honest with you. Those trips, man, they're not my bread and butter on books that I like. So if you could, so you see how Invincible's written, and you see how it progresses, that shows you my taste of books, where it's not linear storytelling by any means, because you'll see this book is not linear. This book is not linear. The further you get into it. But it's not difficult. It doesn't challenge you that much, because I don't need to be challenged when I'm reading. I'm supposed to be escaping. I don't want to have to go deep on my thoughts on these comics, to be honest with you. But
That's one of the reasons why I've liked Fables so much. And I'm six trades into that. And it's because it's all characters you know, but trying to live in our world.
Yeah.
And
that was a long run, too. So that's the thing. Books like Fables, they worry me, because that's how many issues is that thing? Take the trades away, and that was a couple hundred issue run, right?
Oh yeah, I think so.
that's a daunting task.
Yeah.
You know, it just really is. It's sometimes it's overwhelming to try and dive into a series that's that long.
Well, yeah. And when you're trying to read stuff that's still coming out and trying to go back and read things you missed, it makes it really hard.
So I'm pulling up a 2018 list because I know there's a book that I think you probably have heard of it, but I don't remember the name of it. I just remember the cover of the comic. And I'm pretty sure, I bet you once the trade comes out, they use the same trade. It has a school bus on it. And it's not one of the big two. And I don't know for sure if it was Image or one of the other smaller publishers. And I'm thinking it'd be something you'd be into, but I just don't remember what it is. So if you give me a little bit while you're talking, maybe I'll try to do a little bit more of a search.
Not Southern Bastards, is it?
No, yeah. Not Southern Bastards. Because that's not a new... That one's a little bit older now, I think, isn't it? That's been out for a little while.
I think a little bit, yeah.
See, I don't know. I'll have to find it. Maybe I'll email you tomorrow. I got a list of comics that I've got written down at work. I emailed it to you a while back.
Yeah.
Showing you you saw how long my list of books I'm potentially wanting to read. I'll never get around to those damn things. At least not. I'll try my best because, to be honest with you, what I'm reading right now is I'd finished a Spidey run. And I'm trying to think of what came out before Worldwide Spider-Man. And I don't even remember what the title of it was. It's probably Spider Island or something like that, I'm sure. Okay.
Yeah, truthfully, I haven't been starting any runs on Marvel unless it was like the first issue or something in the last year.
See, no, this was back when they were renumbering.
Okay. Well, you saw they're starting over again to get people to jump on.
Oh, God. That was Spider-Man?
With everything.
Oh my God.
That just came out the last day or two that they were doing that.
Ugh, renumbering? Wait. I thought the whole thing of Marvel Legacy was they weren't going to renumber anything. They're going back to the old numbering system.
I saw it on comicbook.com. I didn't really pay too much attention. It just said that they were starting a new point for people to jump on, and like She-Hulk was going back to the status quo and other it named specific characters. She-Hulk just stood out for some reason.
Yeah, no, I was going to try and see if I could bring up the Spider-Man run. I know the one I'm reading right now is Spider-Man Worldwide, which it's pretty interesting, to be honest with you. I'm liking that right now, but I've been reading Spider-Man for so long now. I just read it because I like it. I like Slott's run. I'm good. That Slott just ended his run, maybe, I heard.
Yeah, he did.
Like that. He's moving to Iron Man or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
And I don't know who's taking over Spidey. That's just going to be a hard thing because Slott's been on Spidey forever, it feels like.
See, my problem is when you stop reading for a while, it's hard to get back into it. Mm-hmm. And so I've stuck with Deadpool and Spider-Man Deadpool and a couple Old Man Logan and a few books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's intimidating jumping back in, trying to figure out where do I start.
Oh, see, that's the thing with Slott's run. I was able to top out for months and then get right back into it. Not that I skipped issues, it's just I stopped reading that to go read other stuff, and I get back into it after I finished the new stuff I picked up. And it's great because he introduced the Spider-Mans from the other worlds, is what he did with Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
And they created a new series called Web Warriors off of all the other alternate universe Spider-Mans.
Yeah.
Because the main storyline was, in order for this group of villains to maintain their power, they basically absorbed the powers of other spiders, is what it was. And so they would go to different Earths, you know, the multiverse.
Yeah.
And go get those spiders and take away their powers and kill them. But then they teamed up. All the spiders teamed up to fight this big group of people.
Oh, wow.
And it was actually really cool. And that's the Web Warriors series is kind of one I kind of want to get into.
Yeah.
Just to see that. Because to be honest with you, Spider-Gwen, I don't know if you read Spider-Gwen.
Not really.
I love Spider-Gwen. Spider-Gwen's so cool. She's a fun book.
My daughter's reading it, and it's probably something I should sit down and read so we can talk about it together.
Man. Yeah, it's good. Really, really good. I can give you a recommendation for your kid if you haven't had her read. She's probably old enough. Even your middle kid could probably read it, too. She's probably old enough now to read it.
Yeah.
The Franklin Richard books.
She hasn't read any of those.
The Franklin Richard books, my kid rereads them over and over. They're just fun. Okay. They're fun, funny books. So I actually saw them on the app.
Okay.
So highly recommend it. I liked it. My son likes it. My daughter, she doesn't really get into comics just yet.
Yeah.
You know, she's 7. And so she's old enough to read them. She could read and all that stuff. It's just not her thing just yet. But I'm hoping she'll get into them at some point.
Yeah. Kaylee's reading all the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. So Gamora and Groot and Rocket. They're all, all their solo stuff. So
yeah.
I'm trying to get her to go back and read more of the classic stories.
I guess, and I know I recommend this to you. I'm sure I recommend on one of the old podcasts, but since we're talking about get you into reading something, something not Marvel or DC related, I'll throw out We Stand on Guard. Do you remember that title I gave to you?
I remember it. I don't think I've looked into it.
The reason why I wanted to recommend it was it's, I think it's 6 issues and you're done. It's not ongoing.
Nice.
So you're not committing. You're not. Those are my favorite recommendations these days.
Oh yeah.
Don't give me some. Don't give me something that I need to go back and read 10 years worth of comics.
Oh yeah.
You can give me a one shot, you know, graphic novel that's 6 issues, or it is truly just a graphic novel and you read it. It's just a book. Give it to me. Because this thing, Jay, you'll read it so fast. It's an afternoon.
Okay.
And sometimes that's really all I have time for. And if it's a good afternoon book like that, pff, all the better. You know? All
right. I'll go find it tomorrow. I liked your recommendation of Alex and Ada, so.
Oh, dude, such a great book. And what sucks is you've read more of it than I have now.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to go back and read all that, man.
Yeah.
It pissed me off because, well, because you know what I've been tied up with.
Yeah.
I put the comics down. I picked up an actual real book with words and no pictures in it.
Yeah.
It throws you through a loop when you don't have pictures to look at.
All right. So let's go into it. Ready Player One. How far are you?
I'm done. I read it.
Okay.
I read the whole thing. I'm pissed I read the whole thing. You know why I'm pissed I read the whole thing? Because it's done. I don't want it to be. I didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
I read it so fast that I'm like, no. It can't be done yet. Don't let it. Because then, Jay, you know what I looked up?
Mm-hmm.
After I was done with it, I was like, is there a comic series? Is there a sequel in the works? Is there? I want to know more about these characters. I want to see what happens in the aftermath. And the fact that he hasn't announced a sequel or says there's plans for a sequel, one's written, or they're going to do a comic series or maybe an animated like cartoon. Give me something.
Yeah.
The movie's not going to satisfy me. I'm telling you right now, the movie's not going to live up to my expectations.
The movie,
it's not going to be as good as I want it to be.
The movies never live up to the expectations, especially one like that where it's so cerebral and you're in the character's head so much. You're not going to see that.
The only movie that I've liked as much as the book is Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I love the book and I love the movie. But I'm telling you, Jay, I've already seen from the previews I've watched, it's not like the action sequences are not great and they've got all the nostalgia in there that I want to see. The very first thing I noticed was it appears that in the movie, Parzival, Wade Watts, the main character, he gets to meet... what's the girl's name that I'm blanking on right now?
I don't even remember. I'm planning on going back and rereading
Artemis.
It.
Artemis.
Yeah.
He meets Artemis early in the movie, like face to face. And I don't want to spoil the book for anybody, but I'm just going to say I'm upset.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am really, really mad about the liberties they're taking with this. And the book was written in such a way that they didn't need to. It was a screenplay. The book was a screenplay.
Exactly.
Just make the movie the book. You didn't have to change it. It was long enough to make it for an hour and a half action ride with plenty of comedy, plenty of nostalgia, nonstop, quick pace. You didn't have to change anything about it. You didn't have to make no changes to the movie at all. Or, sorry, changes from the book to the movie. You didn't have
to.
And I already know from just the trailer alone they did. And I'm pissed about it, to be honest with you.
Well, when you know Spielberg's making it and he says, I'm not going to have any references to my movies outside of Back to the Future, which we apparently have seen the DeLorean.
Yeah.
But it's like there's no one more ingrained in 80s culture than Spielberg.
I know. To be honest with you, I'd be like, Spielberg, put Jaws in the goddamn movie.
Yes.
Please, put him in the movie. Put Jaws in there somewhere, you stupid person.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, oh, Jay, I'm telling you, I want to see this movie so bad because of how much I love the book.
Oh, yeah.
I love this book so bad that I want to see this movie just so I can either say, you know what, I was completely wrong, go see this movie, I hope I'm wrong, I want to be so, so wrong about this, but if it doesn't live up to the book at all, I'm going to trash this movie. I'm just going to go rip into it and tell people, don't waste your time. I'll give you a copy of the book. I'll buy you a copy of the book if I have to, just for you to not go see it.
If it's the Dark, if it's the Dark Tower, if it's the Dark Tower, I will be so disappointed.
See, you got it. I couldn't get into the Gunslinger book, so I never got into the whole series. So I never, I, I probably will never watch the movie because I have no interest in seeing the movie. I can, but if it's on that same level where you're that big of a fan of the book and the movie lets you that much down, if they do the same thing with Ready Player One, I'm gonna be crushed. You know, because that's
I've built it so much up. Like, I built it up so much with Aaron that she's going to be disappointed if it's not up to my expectations.
Oh, Ready Player One?
Yeah.
Well, did you let her... Is she going
to
read the book?
No, she never did, and I'm trying to get her to...
Are you trying to get her to read it?
I'm going to try to get her to read it beforehand.
Gotcha.
Because every once in a while, I can get her to read one of those type of books. Like, she read Ender's Game before the movie came out because it was such a good book.
Oh, really? See, I haven't read Ender's Game. I looked up books that are like Ready Player One, because I was like, I need a fix, because if I don't get a sequel to this book right now, I was like, I need something just like it.
Yeah.
You know, because I need to keep the high going, because it got me on a high of, like, so, it made me I was like, I don't want to watch TV tonight. I just want everyone to go to bed so I can sit in my bed and read my book. That's really what I wanted to do. And it's been a while since I could find a book that made me want to do that, you know?
And Ender's Game is really good. The movie was disappointing, which is to be expected, but
is Ender's Game Last Starfighter?
Kind of.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's what I'd heard about it, and I'm like, well, if it's like Last Starfighter, I already know what happens to Last Starfighter and all that stuff. I know the concept of Last Starfighter, so I don't really need to go seek out Ender's Game. But I've heard that's a sci-fi classic kind of thing. You know, a lot of people love it.
Well, and people tend to read all the sequels too, but I've never actually made it past the first book, so.
Gotcha. I looked up books that are like that, and if I remembered them, I would tell you to maybe go see if you can find them. And because Ready Player One was the author's first book.
Right.
He's only written one other one.
Right. Armada.
Armada. Yeah. They said that if you liked Ready Player One, you probably like this one.
Yeah.
It's really similar. I'm like, it won't live up to it. I can't tell right away. They're like, no, it's not. If it's not the same characters, I'm not going to be as invested.
It really didn't live up to it. It was a good story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I read it, but I didn't purchase it, and I'm glad I didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
So you did read it though.
I did read it.
Okay, gotcha.
So
should I go read it, or are you telling me not to waste my time?
Read it. Go get it from the library. Don't buy it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Ready Player One is one to own.
I'm glad I bought it, because this is one of those books where I could see myself reading that multiple times. And I usually never read books multiple times. Actual books. Like, comics I'll read multiple times, but books, no.
Yeah.
I usually don't.
It's one of those books I could pass on to my kids when they're at that point.
Which I've been debating whether or not to give it to my kid. Because I'm like, he's so into video games right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's his big thing right now. And I'm like, I don't think he'll get the references, but he'll still be entertained by it because of the video game aspect of it. I mean, this game is just, or the sorry, the book is just, it's so action packed and so fast paced. It's hard not to recommend it to people because even if you're not into the genre, you're gonna enjoy it just because it's a good story that's quickly paced and has a good, you know.
Yeah. I listened to the Something Something Cast preview of movies, and one of them they were looking forward to but wary of was Ready Player One, because
for the same reasons that we're talking about.
One of the complaints was the video game aspect of it was so small, they only focused on the 80s. And my response to that was, well, the whole culture was obsessed with the 80s at that point, so they didn't look at anything past that. So you might get an Iron Giant or something video game related that came after that, but the fact of the book was they were focused on the 80s.
Yeah, the book didn't have any references to anything. Like, no, it did. Like, there was a glimpse. It even
there were a few.
A PlayStation in there.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool that they did that. But I had no, I mean, in the preview alone, you're seeing things that are updated. You're seeing, you see the Halo guys.
Yeah. You see a ton of more modern video game characters.
Which I don't need that. I wish, I really don't.
Yeah.
So, like, just copy the book.
Yeah. Stick with the 80s.
Yeah.
Because truthfully, I haven't played that many modern video games. I'll know the old ones, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, they won't have an NHL 93 in there. That's a shame.
Well, that is a shame. Little Wayne won't be there bleeding.
I know, man. But yeah, that's. I guess we need to do. Did we do a summer preview yet? I think we did, didn't we?
We went through everything that's coming out for the year, but we might have to go through summer movies again because I'm starting to hear about more of them that I'm getting interested in.
Because I could tell you, I did not see Thor Ragnarok, but I know that came out. So I'm gonna, next time we talk, I'm going to definitely need to talk about Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that soon, too.
So you didn't watch it either?
No, we never went in the theater. And gotcha. So, it's okay, killed so me.
We'll both be fresh on it.
And my goal is by... It's going to be impossible to do, but next weekend I'd like to see both Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I had my only opportunity I think I'm going to have for that is that we have a trivia night on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that maybe Sunday morning before we go pick up the kids, we go stop and see Black Panther.
Nice.
That's my hope. But the problem is my son wants to go see Black Panther. But if I have to go see it twice, I might have to go see it twice.
Yeah.
I've heard it's good enough to go see it twice. Kind of thing, so.
Two of my three kids want to see it. The third one wants to wait till it comes out on a disc because she's more comfortable watching movies at home.
She's already anti going to the movie theater. That's awesome. People annoy me too much to go to the theater, Dad.
She has a problem with a lot of the over-the-top action in the theater, but she's fine at home.
Okay.
So, gotcha. So that's why we didn't see Thor Ragnarok.
Man. Tell you what, it's just, I'm seeing Thor at home. I didn't have time to go see it. Sometimes it's just easier at home.
You know what? It's a Star Wars movie. She's going. Marvel movie, she doesn't care as much.
Or you don't see it at all, ever. That's your punishment for not going.
Yeah. All last weekend, I'm like, we got 3 hours here. We can go see it. No, I don't want to see it, Dad. I'm like, oh.
Unreal, man. Yeah, no, I can't wait. I can't wait for Black Panther. I can't wait for Thor.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't. What is that? Can I be my recommendation to you? I'll give you Stand on Guard. And there you go. As far as a comic goes, I know you still haven't read Ultimate Fantastic Four, have you? I know you'll never get on board with that one. But you got it. It's on the app. I think it's on the app.
I've read the first arc or two.
Get into the whole damn thing.
Yeah, I know. I need to. Ultimate Nemesis, isn't that what he becomes?
I will not say a single thing. I gotta think of something a little bit more modern though that I gotta get it. I read that. I don't know if you read or not. I haven't been in the library in such a long time that I don't know. I usually find new stuff for you when I go to the library, and I don't have it reserved. I just kind of browse before I leave, and I pick up something. And I'm like, oh, this was good. Kind of one of those things.
Yeah, my library kind of sucks, so I have to go on the app and find things ahead of time and request them.
Yeah, no. See, our library system is pretty badass. So, I got a lot. I just don't have time to read it all. Because I'll tell you something I haven't read that you probably have. I've got on Comixology. I've got Alan Moore Swamp Thing.
I've read some of the early stuff.
I got that I need to read on there. I probably won't get that until after I get through all my Spidey stuff.
Yeah,
I get caught up on all that.
Alan Moore stuff can be a lot like.
If it's like Morrison, I might be regretting my purchase. I don't get what's going on, man.
The first arc on it was really good. I remember that one. That stood out because that was about the time Aaron and I were getting married, and it kind of stuck with me for a while. That and Animal Man.
Do you hear a crazy child laughing behind me?
Emmy,
that's my kid
go
that
to bed.
Won't go to bed.
Go to bed, Emmy. Be sure to check out our website, nerdcast.com. That's NYRDCAST. Also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, again under Nerdcast. We are part of the Inside Joke Outside Voice Podcast Network. Check out IJOV for other great podcasts.
The intro music was Social Damage by the band The Euclids.
This week's music comes from the band Voltry, and this is their song, Ghostwriting.